Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is a returning guest. We've had Joel Rosenberg on this program on several occasions because he keeps writing these great books. And if you're not familiar with Joel and with his work, you need to familiarize yourself. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and his books are really good. Not everybody on the New York Times bestsellers list would I say that about. But Joel, welcome to the broadcast.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Jim.
Now, you've got a new book called The Kremlin Conspiracy. And we're used to your talking about the Middle East and the risk posed by radical Islamist terrorists in the Middle East. This is, I know enough about geography to know that the Kremlin is not in the Middle East, but there's a sense in which it is, isn't there?
Well, the regime in Moscow, headed up by Vladimir Putin, certainly has his hands deep in the Middle East.
Very much.
Russian military forces have moved into Syria. They're propping up their ally, Bashar al-Assad. Mm-hmm. They're working with not only Assad's forces, but Iran's forces to slaughter people. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people dead in Syria. Millions are on the run for their lives. Yep. Assad wouldn't still be there if it wasn't for Vladimir Putin propping him up. And when I write, Jim, I write about worst-case scenarios. They're usually in the Middle East, that's true. But the theme to my novels is this, that to misunderstand the nature and threat of evil is to risk being blindsided by it.
Yes.
So in the evil of radical Islam, also what I know described as apocalyptic Islam, those are threats that I didn't feel Americans understood much about. And, of course, I began writing my first novel almost a year before the 9/11 attacks, and it was about a radical Islamic terror group hijacking a jet plane and flying it into an American city. Now I'm writing about evil in other parts of the world. In this case, that evil is rising in Russia today, and I see in Vladimir Putin a would-be czar, really hell-bent on expanding the borders and the influence and the power of Russia. But I also see a mafia boss in Vladimir Putin. And so I've written a thriller that's not about Putin, but the Russian leader is, let's say, Putin-esque, and it draws my reader's attention to where evil is rising somewhere other than just in the Middle East.
Now, why do you believe Vladimir Putin is so dangerous?
Well, I just look at, the Bible says you know a man by his fruit.
Yes.
And if you look at the fruit of Vladimir Putin's lives, what do you see? Well, you see a man who took over in power in 2000, and he has become a totalitarian dictator. He's effectively crushed all of his opponents. They're dead, or they've disappeared, or they've fled. He's going to, he's quote, running for re-election, unquote, on Sunday, and there's no opposition.
Yep.
But almost more importantly, is he is not just a criminal mafia boss, totalitarian thug inside his country. He is now invading one country after another.
Absolutely.
In 2008, he invaded Georgia, the Republic of Georgia. He still occupies 20%. He's invaded southern Ukraine. He annexed Crimea. He's invaded eastern Ukraine. He is holding the Donbas region. And then there's Syria. So he is aggressively attacking and killing in place after place, and nobody is stopping him.
Absolutely.
And you know, they say if you give a mouse a cookie, you know, he'll want a glass of milk. Vladimir Putin has eaten the whole bag of Oreos, and now he's just seized the dairy farm.
Yes. Yes. Well, I agree with you,
by the way.
That's the
short version.
Yeah, I agree with you. How do you think your family's history impacted the writing of the Kremlin conspiracy?
Sure. And well, I should add one other thing in terms of, from a believer perspective, 18 months ago, he outlawed the sharing of the gospel in Russia. You now no longer can share the gospel, even in your own living room. You can't invite someone to church even using an email. You certainly can't do an outdoor gospel presentation at a stadium like Billy Graham used to do. He's not just at war with his neighbors. He's at war with the gospel. Mm-hmm. This is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my family on my father's side were Orthodox Jews that escaped out of Russia in 1906 when the last czar, Tsar Nicholas II, mm-hmm. was fomenting these terrible anti-Semitic attacks that led to the deaths of 60,000 Jewish people in Russia,
mm-hmm.
The rape and the beating and the torture of many, many thousands more,
mm-hmm.
and the burning of their homes and the stealing of their possessions. So my family, as Orthodox Jews, got out of Russia and got to the United States. That's where we found, you know, religious, political, economic freedom. This is where we heard the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and came to faith in Jesus as Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for physically rescuing us and spiritually rescuing us. So I have seen the rise of the evil empire even before the Soviet communist days.
Yes.
I visited Russia when it was the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
in 1986 for a month, smuggling Bibles, sharing mm-hmm. the gospel with college students back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited about 10 years ago as well. And I just see a country that's, you know, has struggled with darkness in the past, and unfortunately darkness is falling on Russia again. And I wanted to write a political thriller, The Kremlin Conspiracy, that sort of drawing on that background, that history, and that personal knowledge, and sort of took people into a worst-case scenario,
mm-hmm.
of where Russia could go. I'm not saying it will necessarily go this far,
mm-hmm.
but it could. That's, you know, I've written a chilling scenario that I just pray never comes true.
Yeah. What do you think Putin is really after, and how far do you think he'd go to get it?
Well, at one level, I see him as seeing himself as a modern-day czar,
mm-hmm.
meaning he's someone who's hell-bent on rebuilding the glory of Mother Russia. He is an extreme nationalist who an imperialist, really, who wants to expand the both the borders, but even more importantly, the influence of Russia.
Yes.
That's at the nationalist level. At the personal level, I believe that Vladimir Putin is a mafia boss.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think of the Godfather movies,
mm-hmm.
except that he's not Sonny Corleone. He's not a hot-headed, rash, impulsive mafia thug.
Mm-hmm.
He's Michael Corleone.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cold-blooded, calculating killer.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants money, he wants power, he wants respect, and he will kill to get it. And given that the West generally has not done almost anything to stop him, I think he's going to go after another country, and possibly soon.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I've read some reports that suggest he is one of the wealthiest men on the planet.
Yes, there have been reports that his wealth is upwards of $200 billion. Now, given that Russia doesn't pay, you know, its leader, you know, $1.4 billion a year over 18 years, he really should have no reason, you know, that would have been a lot more than that. You'd have to have made, you know, $10 billion a year. I mean,
yeah.
He's basically, he will call in oligarchs,
yeah.
the big Russian wealthy crooks themselves, and he'll shake them down. He'll tell
right.
them, look, you need to give me X percentage of your profits, or I'll put you in prison, or
yep.
or worse,
or you'll die.
And they do it.
Yep. Well, you recently commissioned a poll, I read, in which 71% of Americans said they believe Putin and Russia pose a clear and present danger to our security and that of our allies. Now, why do you feel that concern that the American people seem to feel? Why do you feel that that concern keeps being overshadowed by other things?
Well, first of all, the reason we commissioned the poll was because as we were releasing this new novel, The Kremlin Conspiracy, though it is fiction, again, the context is very realistic. You really do have a czar-type figure emerging in Russia who is made all these other threats, and not just threats, he's actually doing evil things. And I think that the scenario that I lay out in the novel, that he could try to go grab another country, possibly in Europe, possibly even a NATO ally, mm-hmm. is not that far off from the truth. What I wasn't sure is, does anyone in America agree with me? because right now, President Trump does not speak in negative terms about President Putin. Mm-hmm. And this is odd because President Trump speaks in negative terms about a lot of people.
Yeah,
He's tougher on his own Attorney General Jeff Sessions than he is on the worst dictator on the planet, Vladimir Putin. Trump is tough on Rocket Man, right? Mm-hmm. The leader in North Korea. He's tough on a lot of people. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, you name it. But somehow Vladimir Putin doesn't seem to merit criticism. And look, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that he's got some criminal motive or corrupt motive even. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't know that. Obviously, there's an investigation that will run its course. We'll find out. But it's worth saying, even as someone who wants the president to be doing the right things, and in many areas in policy, he's actually doing much better than I thought he would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a president before. He's never been in government before. But the economy's roaring.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship with Israel is going better than ever. His relationship with the Arab world is going better than ever. His relationship, he seems to be moving the North Koreans. We'll see. So in many areas, President Trump is doing a much more effective job. It's messy. It's messy in Washington. But when you look at results, he's racking them up.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to Putin, he's radio silent. I mean, he has not a negative word to say. And now he is rebuilding America's military. That's important. He's pushing NATO, Trump is, to spend more money on its own defense, and they are.
Mm-hmm.
He is sending, lethal weapons to the Ukrainians so they can defend themselves against Russia.
Right. He's taken some definite steps that have made it clear that he is not in Russia's pocket. But, as you say, he is so outspoken and so brutal in some of the things that he says about others that it's surprising that he doesn't say more about Putin.
About Putin, exactly. And that's why we asked. So at first I wanted to see, well, maybe most American people don't see Putin as I do. But it turns out they do. Three out of four do.
Yep.
That clear and present danger. But then we also asked, has President Trump convinced you that he understands the gravity of the Russia threat, the Putin threat, and mm-hmm. that he's taking every measure to counter that threat? Or option B was, has President Trump not convinced you yet that he really understands the threat and that he needs to do much more to counter the threat? And right now you're a little concerned that he's got this odd relationship with Putin.
Mm-hmm.
And 52% went with that second option.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the president having that he's doing enough, that he's saying enough. They want him to do much more.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not people that are all against him.
Right.
These are also his own supporters who are saying, there's something odd here. He should do more. And I'm one of those who thinks the president's doing well in many areas, but Putin is a real and rising threat.
Yep.
You've got the situation right now in Great Britain, where a Russian spy that turned against Russia and began helping the West
mm-hmm.
has now, he and his family have been poisoned,
yep.
killed, and all the evidence so far seems to point to Russia. Prime Minister Theresa May is all but accusing Moscow, giving them some time to give a response. What's your answer? President Trump has said nothing about this case so far.
Yeah.
He needs to. America is the world leader, and the President of the United States needs to step up and be engaged when a dictator like Putin is doing so much evil in so many places. And the novel, The Kremlin Conspiracy, is really a worst-case scenario about an American leader that doesn't understand quite how aggressive the Russians will be and really gets himself into the brink of a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the novel, you characterize U.S. and NATO leaders as politically divided, unsure how to respond to Moscow's growing aggression and at risk of being blindsided by a new military move by the Kremlin. That really is how you see the situation, isn't it?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah.
And again, it entirely requires American leadership. It's going to require American presidential leadership of the kind that Trump uniquely could do. You know, mm-hmm. with a few tweets, he could begin to put a spotlight on Putin and the evil. Take, for example, the contrast President Trump's approach towards North Korea mm-hmm. and his approach towards Russia, mm-hmm. right? Trump has been tweeting that, you know, Little Rocket Man is a threat. He's a world threat. He's taking all these provocative actions. But he's not just tweeting. Trump is also sending stealth bombers, nuclear bombers, over the Korean Peninsula. He's beefing up, you know, our naval forces in the region, our ground forces, our missile defenses in the region. He's sending, President or Vice President Pence to the region. Mm-hmm. You know, he's working with our allies And Rocket Man has gotten the message.
Yep.
Now, we'll see. I'm not saying that this thing is going to get solved the next few months, but President Trump has gotten the attention of North Korea, their leadership, because he's taking verbal action to put attention to their evil, mm-hmm. and he's actually got a policy, a strategic range of policies, putting pressure, sanctions, and so forth. He is not doing the same thing in the same way with Russia, even though Russia is far more dangerous to us than North Korea.
Now, I agree with that. I would also say it seems, and you know much more about this than I do, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think not in terms of what he has said about Putin, but in terms of some of the moves that have been made in Syria, he has done things that were very upsetting to the Russians.
Well, that's true. And let's give two examples. One is when the Assad government used chemical weapons again, mm-hmm. Even though the Russians told us there weren't any chemical weapons,
right?
That they'd all been removed. President Trump was the first president to actually fire missiles at the base where the chemical weapon attack came from.
Yes.
In a show of force, a very surprising move. I'm sure Putin didn't expect that. I'm sure
right.
Assad didn't expect that. And then just a few weeks ago, we've been hearing these stories that a group of Russian mercenaries tried to attack an American forward operating base.
Yes.
And the Americans were caught off guard but responded so effectively that they may have killed upwards of 300 Russian mercenaries.
Right.
It was a very effective move by the American military forces and a real punch in the nose or a bloody nose for Putin.
Yes.
Now, Putin, again, had to be shocked, but he's probing. There's
yep.
a famous quote, Jim, by Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, not mm-hmm. John Lenin, the communist originator of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
And Vladimir Lenin used to say, probe with bayonets. Mm-hmm. When you find mush, push. When you find steel, stop. Now, this was about trying to find landmines, right?
Yes.
But effectively, Putin is following Lenin's advice. He is probing for Western and particularly American weaknesses. And when he finds mush, as he did during the President Obama years, he just keeps invading and
right.
pushing and pushing. The question is whether he will meet steel under Trump. I mm-hmm. think that he can. In a few cases, he has. But it's not a clear comprehensive policy yet by
right.
Trump. And again, Trump keeps radio silence at the moment on the whole topic.
Yep.
So that's got to change.
I agree.
It can change, but it hasn't yet.
I agree. Now, you know, you talk about division between the U.S. and some of the NATO leaders. Certainly one example of that is of great concern to me is Turkey.
Yes.
That's a disaster. You talk about division between the U.S. and some of the NATO leaders. That fellow is not our ally. He's our enemy, and we're still in NATO with him and having. I mean, he's a strategic ally supposedly, but my word, that doesn't constrain him in the least from doing and saying things that are absolutely opposed to U.S. interests. And the way that our friend Andrew Brunson's being treated over there is unconscionable.
I can't give you an explanation, Jim, of why Erdogan, the sultan, the dictator of Turkey, remains in the NATO alliance.
Right.
I love the people of Turkey. I've been to Turkey many times. But I got to tell you, this is a country that's turned to the dark side. It is aligning itself with Russia. It's aligning itself with Iran. It's buying Russian missile systems, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
How do you remain a NATO ally when you're working this closely with our two of our worst enemies, Russia and Iran?
Right.
It's unconscionable, and that's going to be something that the President Trump and his team are going to have to deal with. They've got a lot of things to deal with, admittedly.
Yes.
We need to be praying for President Trump, for his advisors. But again, the left is trying to accuse President Trump of being criminally complicit and colluding with Putin, as though they're somehow symbiotically attached to each other.
Right.
Now, the evidence does not hold up for that.
Right.
There's no reason that we would be increasing U.S. defense spending and pushing NATO to spend more, which they are, on their own defense, if Trump was soft in some criminal and corrupt way on Putin. There's no reason you'd put Jim Mattis, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, to be your defense secretary, or Mike Pence, who's super strong on Russia, as your vice president, or Mike Pompeo, again, these are personal friends of mine, at CIA, if you were criminally connected to Putin. But that does not absolve the president of the need to explain to us, why isn't he putting a spotlight on Putin? Why is he radio silent? And again, in the novel, while the American president in the book is not Trump, there are some Trumpian elements to him. He's new, he's untested, he doesn't have foreign policy experience. That's a challenge for any American president, and I create an American president in the Kremlin conspiracy that's having to learn on the fly.
Yep.
He's trying to learn as he goes in very difficult waters, up against a Russian dictator who's been in power for, you know, two decades and has can make every decision by himself, and is pure evil. So it makes for an interesting novel. The problem is it's cutting a little too close to home to what's really happening.
Well, I agree. And Graham Lotz said this: Joel Rosenberg is unsurpassed as the writer of fiction thrillers. Sometimes I have to remind myself to breathe as I read one of his novels, because I find myself holding my breath in suspense as I turn the pages. Folks, the new book is The Kremlin Conspiracy. Joel Rosenberg is always a delightful guest and always a brilliant author. And if you are looking for something to help keep you up nights, this would be a great choice. Joel, I want you to know we appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord and your faithfulness to His Word, even as you write these marvelous books. You are doing so, I know, based on our conversations, you're doing so with an eye toward telling the truth, even through fiction, and pointing people ultimately to a much bigger reality. So thank you very much.
I appreciate that very much, Jim. And I just want to leave your listeners with this. I hope they will get a copy of The Kremlin Conspiracy and read it, and for pure entertainment's sake, but also keep an eye on Russia. You may not be thinking about that, but also be praying for the Russian people. They are essentially enslaved, and whether they see it or understand it, there's not a lot they can do about it.
Yep.
The church is under tremendous persecution in Russia now. Mm-hmm. Pray for them. Pray also for Vladimir Putin. The Bible says pray for and love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So let's be faithful to that as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Joel.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
1-800-273-8952.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.